The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistles from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, You have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's lesson is our Old Testament reading. How many of you have a cell phone that you usually take with you wherever you go? Let's see a show of hands. How many of you know someone who hardly ever goes anywhere without their cell phone? Especially now that cell phones have become smaller, cheaper, and more powerful than ever before. Many people carry a cell phone, even if it's just for convenience or security. Should an emergency arise while you're out on the highway, the cell phone is close at hand and help is only a phone call away. If someone you know is out on a boat fishing, the cell phone is close at hand to either find out how many fish are biting or to find out if it's McDonald's for supper. For many people, that plastic little box filled with microchips and electronic circuitry is something that they always want to keep close at hand. While a cell phone is indeed a very convenient tool for keeping in communication with others, as the children of God, you and I, my friends, have all been given a communication tool which is far more powerful, far more necessary, and far more convenient. Today, on the basis of these words from the book of Deuteronomy, let's see how Moses encourages us to always make sure that we keep God's word close at hand. The words of our text were spoken by Moses towards the very end of his ministry as the leader of God's Old Testament people. Moses had watched as the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with signs, wonders, and mighty power. Moses had watched the people of God rebel, repent, and return to the Lord time and time again. He watched as an entirely new generation arose while an entire old generation died off in the wilderness, never to enter the promised land of Canaan, because of their disobedience and unfaithfulness. Before we condemn the Israelites for their rebellion against God, we need to remember that we daily break God's holy law, and sometimes even willingly and eagerly do it. We all have our pet sins, those little things we know are wrong, but yet we do them anyway, because does it really matter? When we read those Old Testament stories, we can see how God views sin and our willingness to ignore His word. In fact, Moses himself had disobeyed the Lord and was told that he would not be allowed to enter the earthly promised land. And so now, at the end of this long and mostly distinguished ministry, now as he turned the mantle of leadership over to Joshua, his God-appointed successor, now as the people came into that promised land, we find the warning that Moses gives to them. Even though it seems to be an easy choice, they need to know the consequences of their bad choices. God said, "But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you that this day you will certainly be destroyed." What was the requirement for the children of Israel when they entered the promised land? They had one thing to do, and that one thing was to drive out all the inhabitants that were there. The Lord wanted them to drive out the inhabitants of the promised land because they were pagan people. They did not believe in God, and they were not going to worship the Lord God Almighty. They refused to repent and openly sinned and were proud of their sins. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they drove out most of the people, but not all of them. So it happened that because some of those people lived among God's chosen people, the chosen people of God began to worship false gods. The list of false gods was long, and they were terrible. There was Baal, Asherah, and Ashtoreth, and Molech, who even demanded human sacrifices. Their hearts were drawn away from the Lord. There is a lesson to be learned here about who we associate with or call our friends. No, I'm not saying to get rid of all your non-Christian friends because we're to be a witness to them, but be careful of the pull to follow in their beliefs or to have understanding of their pagan ways. Moses takes this opportunity to focus the hearts, minds, and the lives of God's people on the glorious covenant which God had established with them. This glorious covenant promised blessings beyond imagination for all those who remain faithful to God. At the same time, a lack of faithfulness to this covenant would most certainly bring it with it trouble, sorrow, discipline, and judgment, as God's people had already experienced far too many times. Well then, if faithfulness to the covenant is the key, then God's people need to know, in no uncertain terms, on what basis this faithfulness is to be measured. How is faithfulness or unfaithfulness to be determined? Moses very clearly addresses this concern when he says to God's people, "The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers, if you obey the Lord and your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What is your choice? In our lives, we make many choices. After we make our choices and we look back, we realize some of them are good and some are not so good. After we made our choices and look back, we realize some have taken much thought and some not so much thought. Today, as we listen to the words of our text, Moses gives his people a choice to choose good and to live long and enjoy God's blessings, or a choice to be disobedient and then suffer the results. First and foremost, we want to remember that the most important choice has already been made for us. The same divine choice was also made for the children of Israel. God had chosen the children of Israel to inherit the promised land. They were known as his chosen people. Today, you and I have also been chosen to inherit the promised land that is yet to come. We have been chosen and called out of darkness that we might live in the light of the knowledge of salvation. We have been called out of darkness to live with God in heaven forever someday. So that divine choice is already made for us. But what do we do after God has called us out of darkness? That is what our text talks about today. In the Gospel of John, we are told how God has chosen us. We have not decided on our own to believe, but his choice has been made for us. From John 15, we read, "You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you to go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last." That is what Moses was talking about today in our text. What is your choice? Is it going to be good fruit or bad fruit? He says the Lord has chosen us to bear good fruit that will last. So in our lifetime of choices, Moses reminds us to daily ask ourselves, which choice will we make? Faithfulness to the covenant is determined by the faithfulness of one's heart to the holy revealed word of God. Through this written word, God revealed to his chosen people exactly what he did and what he did not want them to think, to do, say, and believe. Faithfulness to the written word of the Lord was therefore to be a top priority in the hearts and lives of God's people. Unfortunately, just like the Israelites, here is what we have failed. Today, it is fashionable to say that some parts of the Bible are not up with the times and therefore we do not need to follow them. To me, it seems that the words of St. Paul are often the victim of this thinking. The Holy Spirit, through the words of St. Paul, have some harsh words to speak of unrepentant behavior. God punished Israel until they repented and turned back to him. False gods and idols constantly led the children of Abraham astray, and we have also fallen into the same trap. Anything we place above God is considered idolatry. It may be our job, money, sports, or even leisure activities, anything that prevents us from making God number one and keeping his word close at hand. Idolatry comes in all forms. It is easy to pick on players in various sports or politicians when it comes to this, but what about us? Before this sermon, if I asked you to write down the three most important things you value, I wonder how many of you would have listed God's word. God's word tells us that we are to regard his word as holy and gladly hear and learn it. We are tempted to limit our church attendance to when worship services do not interfere with our work, sporting events, or leisure activities. I shake my head when I see Facebook posting after posting of people sitting in bars or engaged in other activities but don't seem to have the time for church on Sunday. Martin Luther writes in the meaning of the third commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it." If we measure our faithfulness to God and his word according to his law and commandments, we find that we fall far short of what God requires. And according to the law, we find that we all deserve his wrath and punishment. But our God is a loving God, and in his mercy, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Purely out of his eternal grace, God has given his written word to us, and his word very clearly reveals how he would provide eternal salvation for a sinful, corrupt world. It is in God's word that we hear what God has done for us. In God's gospel message, we hear that despite our sinfulness, our unfaithfulness to God and his word, he took it upon himself to come to this world and save us. He knew before the creation of the world what it would cost him by creating human beings, but yet out of love for us, he did it all. God sent his son to keep his laws and commandments perfectly because we could not. He sent his son to die the death that we deserve for our sin, transgressions of the law. And God raised Jesus on the third day to show his approval for his sacrifice, to show that because he lives, we will also live. God did this because of his great love for us, and because of what Jesus has done, we are now forgiven and have a glorious inheritance waiting for us in heaven. St. Paul, in our epistle lesson for today, says that God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God promises us his blessings if we turn to him with all our heart and soul. And what is truly amazing, my friends, what is absolutely astounding is that God is not asking us to do anything that is too difficult for us to do. By giving us the gift of saving faith in our heart, and by giving us the ability to read and accept his word without adding to it or subtracting from it, God has made faithfulness to him as easy and as convenient as it can possibly be. Moses brings this out right here in our text when he says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you may have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it." I'm consistently amazed at how often churches teach and how often people think that faithfulness in their relationship with God is something that is achieved only through great personal efforts. If you ask them to climb the highest mountain or to cross the deepest sea or even sign over every worldly possession that they have, there are people who would do it simply so that they can say they have fulfilled their duty. A relationship with God is not accomplished by giving a certain amount to the church, activities, or even by any human action. But salvation is not something that we can accomplish. Salvation does not depend on anything we can do to please God. If it were, then we would be lost, sinful, because sinful beings can never do anything to please a holy and righteous God. Yes, it is possible and happens often that non-Christians do great things for each other and are a benefit to many, but before God it means nothing. We believe that humans, Christian or not, are incapable of good works, that all goodness comes from the Christian God, that works apart from God that seem good are actually done for the wrong motivations and reasons. According to Isaiah 64:6, our works are as filthy as rags. The rags, like the bandages of lepers, wrapped around their putrefying flesh. In other words, our good works, apart from Jesus working in and through us, are awful-smelling bandages. But as we hear, read, and learn God's word, keeping it close at hand, we find out everything we need to know about our salvation and what God has done. Everything we need to know, my friends, everything is revealed to us right here in this word. Now, that does not mean that the Bible answers every last question we can come up with. What it does mean is that every question we need an answer to, such as where did we come from, why are we here, and where are we going, all such questions are answered right here in God's holy book. A passage that has brought me a great deal of comfort and clarity during some very confusing times in my own life is found shortly before our text today in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The Lord says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of his law." There are certain things which God, in his eternal wisdom, has chosen not to reveal to us. They are for him to know. They are for him to take care of. But what the Lord has revealed to us here in his holy word belongs to us, and it belongs to our children, so that we might hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word, making it an essential, inseparable part of our inner being. This is our motivation why we have Vacation Bible School teaching our children to keep God's word close at hand. This is why we have various Bible studies throughout the week and on Sunday mornings. What it all boils down to is regular, personal use of God's word. God's holy word is as close as that Bible sitting on your coffee table or on your bookshelf at home. God's holy word is as close as the pastor's voice in your ears when you gather here in the house of the Lord. God's word is as close as recalling to mind the portions of the scripture that you have committed to memory over the years. God's holy word is as close as popping a CD into your car stereo and listening to someone reading the Bible for you as you drive to and from work each day. The covenant which God has established with us, my friends, the new covenant built upon the rock-solid foundation of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our only Savior from sin, that covenant is what guarantees to all the faithful a glorious eternity in the promised land of heaven above. May God graciously grant that we will enter into that glorious promised land as we strive to remain faithful to the Lord by striving to remain faithful to his word. To this end, may the good Lord be with all of us. Amen.